When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Andy J Podcast. The Andy J Podcast. The Andy J Podcast.
Well, hello there. Welcome to another episode of the Andy J Podcast. And this time, well, things are rather handsome. It is the most attractive show we could put out for you. Typical for a podcast that's not much use, is it? But no, today I am chatting to a man who I've known for almost a decade or possibly longer. I can't really remember, but he's such a lovely man. I can tell you in that time, I have gone from being, you know, moderately youthful looking to looking like Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars. However, he remains exactly the same. I mean, I remember when I first met him, he looked exactly how he looks right now. The same amount of time has passed in both our lives, and yet he looks identical. And I am aging like a crazy prune. But that's okay. I'm comfortable in my skin. And besides, this guy is the world's most successful male supermodel. You'll know him from campaigns for Dolce & Gabbana alongside Naomi Campbell, Scarlett Johansson, Jennifer Lopez, and many more. He's also, I'll tell you what, you can find out in this chat. He's just a top man. I've spoken to David many times, and I always enjoy his company. I would consider him to be a friend. I really do value his thoughts, his outlook on life. He does so many good things that we didn't get a chance to touch on, because this was a recording we made for the Talk Sport show. So naturally, we need to veer a little bit into sporty stuff and car stuff. But I can tell you, sort of away from this conversation, David is a huge advocate of animal welfare. I think he could and would have been a vet if life had presented him the opportunity to do so. He loves animals so much. He's just one of really good guys. He's a proper grafter. You know, he has earned his place in society by putting the hours in and analysing everything he does. He's not just someone who's handsome and takes a good photo, although he does happen to take a good photo and be handsome. Anyway, listen, thank you so much for listening to this episode, for choosing the Andy J Podcast. You guys are the best. I really appreciate it. Please enjoy this lovely half hour or so with Mr. David Gandy.
Podcast.
Joining me now is a man I've known for the best part of a decade. He is probably the world's most successful male supermodel. He's obviously had huge campaigns across the years with Dolce & Gabbana alongside Naomi Campbell, Scarlett Johansson, Jennifer Lopez, and many more. He also happens to be a massive classic car nut, an enthusiast, a collector, a journalist. He's a businessman. And he's irritatingly handsome. In fact, lots of people often say to me, so what's David Gandy actually like? And I begrudgingly have to say he's a lovely man, but I do add that he smells terrible and he has awful piles. David, how are you doing?
All right, sir, thank you. Wondering what you're going to say there. What was David really like? Wow.
You're one of those irritating men that is staggeringly attractive, as you know. You've made a great career out of it, but also happens to be a very nice bloke with completely aligned values and passions as me. So I have to tell people, like, you've got terrible breath or something, because otherwise, you know, you'd just be like,
well, too. Well, the two young kids are doing their best to age me as best they can within the last like 3.5 years. So. Yeah, but, you know, car fans, I mean, that's one of the things, aren't we? Like, anyone who's car passionate, there's always something to talk about.
There is.
Finding a passion with someone. A bit like, you know, same with football. Football, you find a passion with someone. It doesn't actually matter where you are. It doesn't matter if there's a massive language barrier. I can speak to my brother-in-law's cousin, who doesn't speak much English, and I don't speak hardly any Spanish. But somehow we have a conversation about cars, which is...
Brilliant. These are the great dividers, aren't they? I mean, this is the lovely thing where actually, I often say this to my boys, like you've got two girls, I've got three boys, and I often say to them, look, there are so many things that translate universally, and football and cars tend to be the two that have served me. You know, like you, I've worked all over the world for far too many years, And yeah, you can just chat to anyone, wherever you are in the world, talk football, talk cars, someone wants to chat to you. It's a lovely language, isn't it?
True, it's true. Very, very true, which I like. Well, and I support Spurs, so there's always someone willing to take the mickey out of me, of course, for one way or another.
Well, look, we have to let's get started, because obviously this opportunity to talk to you, obviously we're going to get onto cars and we'll do some dream drives in due course. Naturally, it'd be rude of us not to. But I have to tell everybody that you have now, not only with your supermodel life, not only have you carried on your amazing career, but you also have your own business now, David Gandy Wellwear, a full-on fashion label, which basically, David, I'm setting you up as a voice of authority to talk about certain famous people's fashion senses. We're going to look at footballers and we're going to look at motorsport, okay? Let's get started with Lewis Hamilton, okay? Formula One's finest. I love the bloke. I'm not sure what you think of him, but he does make headlines for stepping out in alternative clothing.
Yeah.
What's your view on how he looks?
I love individuals. And individuality. And that's what he is doing. He's an individual. And whether you like it or not, that's not really for people to say.
Right.
And that's my take on stuff. I won't criticize people's dress sense. I may not appreciate it. I always appreciate people being an individual. And I say, well, I couldn't wear that. But it doesn't matter if I couldn't wear it. It matters how that person feels in what they're wearing. So if you've got the confidence to wear something and you're different, you know, it's looking different from everywhere else, then I say, I commend them. I think that's great. And that's how fashion, at the end of the day, and is you know, being in the fashion industry, we all look at things that are different on the runway. We all learn the first initial trend come out and say, we'll never wear that. And then sometimes you don't realize, but over the years, people then go towards that trend. It's quite a funny thing. I'm inspired by sort of traditional, I suppose, tailoring fabrics, fits. Hollywood greats, Paul Newman, Steve McQueen. Yeah, they're who inspire me. But someone could look at me and say, well, you wear suits and and t-shirts and jeans and double denim and stuff like that and criticize me, and they could do. But that's what I'm comfortable in. And I think that's the most important element of anything, is that if you're comfortable, it's your mental well-being we're talking about. It's like people should, just accept that at the end of the day. And Lewis does his thing. It's part of his personality. It's part of his brand. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Just do what you do on the, I always say, if people are criticizing you, then you sort of beat them with success at the end of the day. What matters is what Lewis Hamilton does on the, in his F1 car on the track. Same with footballers, same with anyone.
Yeah.
That's where it matters.
I hear you. And Lewis, to be fair, Lewis, I think, has earned the right to wear whatever the heck he wants to. And if he feels good in it, more power to him. None of the clothes he wears would suit me. But nonetheless, I actually love his alternative style. I think it's great, and more power to him. There have been some headlines about the Everton team, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, for example, and I think possibly his influence has rubbed off on Tom Davies and Anthony Gordon. Now, he's made headlines, or the three of them in particular have made headlines in some of the national papers along the lines of they're easily the worst dressed squad. Does the same rules apply here, David? Because, of course, Lewis, he has done it. Everton are more upcoming as a club rather than necessarily, they haven't necessarily got the World Championships under their belt at this point in time. So are they equally entitled to wear what they fancy?
I can't say I know huge amounts about what the whole of the Everton team are wearing at the moment. Dominic Calvert-Lewin was on the front cover of GQ. I thought he looked incredible. Absolutely incredible. So, again, I'm not quite sure why. I don't know his day's outfits. Obviously, when you're shooting, then you've got stylists and teams behind you and stuff like that. Again, the thing is, Andy, is that when anyone does something different from anyone else, it's usually... it usually comes with a bit of criticism,
right?
Because they aren't following the pack. This is quite a famous thing in anything, is that if you do something different. Same with a group of guys that go to the pub. Everyone is probably safe to say that they all wear the same thing, and that's okay. If you try something different, then you're probably going to get the mickey taken out of you. That's just part of being in the, you know, being a part of a lads group in the UK. You know, you get taken out of you at the end of the day. But again, it's down to, you know, the individual style of people. You can appreciate, you cannot. It's I always sort of say, you know, my grandmother said to me, if she said, "You've got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all." Pretty much how I go on to say, if someone looks good, I say you look good.
Yeah.
If I don't think someone, you know, looks good, I think, well, good for you for, you know, for pulling that off and doing well in it. It's other people, why offend other people so much? I'm not quite sure.
No, that's fair dues. Although I'm picking up on something here, David. We must have met face-to-face many, many, many times now. I've lost count. We've known each other, I don't know, about 10 years. I don't recall you ever saying to me, you look good, which makes... So the lack of compliments suggests I never have. I've been trying to think about fashion disasters that I've made in my career. And certainly one that I know that I definitely made in my early years as a drummer. I had about 6 months of trying out tartan trousers. And this is many decades ago, thank goodness. But I've noticed that tartan trousers haven't made it into the well-wear range, David. I mean... Is there a reason for that?
They haven't yet. Although I love her. I've done a tartan trouser before.
Okay.
In a suit. Like I went to the Scottish, I think it was the Scottish Fashion Awards, and got tailored a pair of tartan trousers. Loved it. I actually look, because I think now I'm about, like, it keeps going up. My DNA is like 25% Scottish. My nan's maiden name is Bruce.
Okay.
So I actually looked into the Bruce tartan, which I thought, brilliant. Like, we must have a lovely tartan somewhere. I swear it's the ugliest tartan I've ever seen. And there's like about five of them.
How'd you make an ugly tartan? No way.
And I was like, yeah, I was like, you know, why? It's like orange and green and yellow. So I was like, I can't pull that one off, I'm afraid. but yeah, so I think I'd like everyone, we've all had fashion disasters. At the end of the day, it's finding out what you're happy in, what you're confident in, that's the most important thing. It's about, we say it well, where, you know, we're developing clothing and designing clothing that not only hopefully makes you look good, but you feel good with it as well. So, and that's a major important thing. It plays such a major factor, clothing. People don't think it does. They underestimate this power, the psychology of clothing. And I won't go into it too much, but the comfort and the fit and the, you know, the sizing, the colors of all clothing has a psychological effect on you feeling good, you feeling confident every day. If you think one thing we do the same every day is we get dressed and we choose what to wear. And that's, so it's a major, major part of our lives. And people say, well, you know, I don't care what I wear. I put on anything. And I'm intrigued and say, well, so you didn't buy the clothes that you're in. That's what I did. So you made a choice. You made a conscious choice of why you're wearing a white t-shirt, a black t-shirt, a polo shirt, and all those different things. So it's this conscious feeling that, you know, it's such an important thing, and people don't, people really underestimate it. But I think people are a little bit too quick off the mark sometimes to criticize something that is a bit different.
Yes.
And I've had it, you know, I've started wearing, but when suits weren't fashion, I'm probably talking 10, 12 years ago, you know, I went into tailoring quite heavily, really interested in Savile Row and three-piece suits and everything. Everyone's like, why are you wearing three-piece suits? Why are you wearing double-breasted? And then slowly it comes again where you see this, the fashion changes, and then everyone is in suits and everyone is in three-piece and double-breasted. And then that changes again. We're much more relaxed now, you know. Before the pandemic, it was happening. In banks, they were saying you can, it was like a dress down Friday, but they were saying all week you can chair, you don't have to wear suits. And then with the pandemic, everyone then became much more casual in what they wear, because we're having to mix between this, you know, working from home and also then going into the office.
Hello, I'm Amber. I work with the team that bring you this show and the Driven Chat podcast. And we love that you're listening. It would be really cool if you could just chuck us 5 stars, subscribe, and tell your friends. Thank you.
The Andy J podcast.
Yes, exactly. No, it's that, I think that's what's happening with Wellwear as well, isn't it? You've found these fabrics and these colours that actually give people a lift. We're into holiday season now, David. Famously, plenty of people will be wearing their football strips on holiday. You mentioned you're a Spurs fan. There is, of course, the third kit that's been dubbed the swimwear kit. It basically looks like a wetsuit. Would you say people make a conscious choice to put their clothes on? Would you, as an open Spurs fan, adopt the swimwear kit as a look? Would you strut down the beaches of Greece in that amazing third strip?
I'm going to swerve this one completely to answer that one.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Say, we have the well-wear poolside kit and I have to be in that, unfortunately. I've got to be in my own poolside well-wear. Unfortunately, it's in my contract. I wrote my contract. I own the company, so I have to be in well-wear. Listen, if you want the technical, so like if people wearing technical clothing, and that's what football kits are. You know, they're technical bits of kit to either take sweat and heat away from you or to put heat back into you in different, in the different conditions. That's what they're there for. So if you're in a hot, climate and you want to wear a football kit, it's actually quite a sensible thing to do. We have technology in Wellwear. We have Wellwear Breathe, which is antibacterial, anti-odor. We have our Wellwear Protect, which is UV protectant, and we have our Aloe Vera, which is anti-inflammatory and moisturizing. So, we have all these elements, and it's, clothing just isn't clothing now. It's like there's a lot of, sort of clever technical elements that can go into clothing. And that's basically what the football kits are. I remember when Spurs, this is perfect, like Spurs in the, what FA Cup final would it have been? Was it 1991?
Okay.
And I think they had their new kit for the FA Cup final, if I remember correctly. And before that, we all had the very short shorts. It was like, the 80s short shorts. And then they came up with, now which everyone has got the longer shorts, like they're almost like the knee length, but a little bit shorter than knee length. And I remember then everyone going, my goodness, what a change, like what are Spurs thinking? And now everyone's developed, into the long shorts and the collars and everything else. So it all kind of like changes. I do have to say, as a footballer, when I was a young footballer, I loved the collar. Maybe I thought I was Eric Cantona, but I loved the flick of the collar.
Got to turn it up, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's how sort of geeky sad I am. I love a flick of the collar. and a lot of football kits don't have that now, which is kind of like sad to see. But yeah, always envious of a bit of. And then I always remember, like, when you had to choose your football kit, whether you chose short sleeve or long sleeve.
Yeah.
I remember Gary Lineker always had long sleeve, and I was like, I'm going long sleeve with Gary at Spurs. So that's what I used to go with.
It's a good shout, and you can always roll the long sleeves up to make out that you've got better gammas as well,
Absolutely, roll those sleeves up. I mean, yeah, another good fashion statement, roll the sleeves up. along with my Gary Lineker Quasar football boots.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trending hard in the 90s to fit in that. And I always see the like, everyone says, were you interested in fashion? And I always kind of was interested, not in the fashion business, but my mum always says I was very dominant about what I wanted to wear. I was very headstrong. And I remember, like, during the 1990 World Cup, the England shell suit, the official England shell suit, like, that was a statement. And you couldn't have... Yeah, we had people like who had the fake England tracksuit that was from Basildon Market, and you'd be like, "Oh, nice try! I've got the official England like shell suit." That went on for quite a while.
So you just to confirm, David, you fully rocked the England shell suit. You were David Gandy, supermodel to the stars, actually were a shell suit owning
Yeah.
I mean, but what, the best thing about the shell suits, their flammable nature. They were just literally straight up in flames.
Yeah, I think that ended. My nan ended that trend because I think she ironed it.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think my nan might have done me a favor there with ironing my England shell suit. She might have been super embarrassed.
Good old Nana Gandhi. Fantastic. David, we've got to talk cars. I mean, you are notoriously well known for not just your passion for cars, but actually you are a curator. You find very rare, very special cars, and you spend a lot of time meticulously restoring them, don't you?
I do find cars. I wish I could restore them. That there's some teams involved in that because I'm not sure if I would drive a car, I would restore. So yes, I do. I love the passion of keeping something on the road for everyone to enjoy. I think classic cars are for everyone to enjoy, to be honest. So my cars go around all the different concourses and stuff for people to enjoy. And again, great conversational piece. You know, to get out of a classic car, everyone comes and chats to you about it. Which is lovely. So huge passion of mine.
What have you got your eye on next? Because we've done Mercedes, which I believe you sold, which I was stunned. Yeah. From the look in your face, I can tell you perhaps regret selling it. You've done the Mercedes.
No, I don't regret it because I didn't drive it as much as I wanted to. It's a very pretty car. It's a lovely car. It's my first restoration, but it's not the best car to drive. And I wasn't driving it because of that. And it needed to go to people who were going to appreciate it more than me, I think. And that's exactly what I did. And the car is now being used. The buyers who bought it keep me up to date with all their rallies around Europe. So it's being properly used.
Oh, that's
which
good.
Which I love.
That is great.
Yeah, I did the Jaguar XK.
Yep.
It's probably still my favorite. And then I just, finished last year, the Porsche 356. Very, very pretty car, nice car. I haven't, I'm trying not to go onto the sites at the moment because I can always find an excuse to go on to the next car. Ferrari 330 GTC.
There you go. I knew there'd be another one.
I think I know. And I keep looking at them and I've done the thing where I looked at them and thought, they're a very good price for a V12 classic Ferrari. And then I watch them go up by another 25 grand thing. Right. Well, I've missed this one now, which is slightly annoying.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think they're, again, very attractive car, pretty car, Ferrari V12. And not silly money for a classic Ferrari.
It's going to sound amazing as well, isn't it? I mean, there's a note there to that exhaust, which would just be Mamma Mia. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
But what about modern cars, David? We haven't, you and I have never really discussed the modern powertrains, electrification, hydrogen, and so on.
Yeah.
Are you drawn to it? I think, like me, you've had a bit of time in an I-Pace. I don't know if you've had the recharging challenges or whether you haven't had any range issues at all or what, but what's your view on where we have to go as a kind of public in terms of our transportation?
There's a few ways of looking at it, Andy. I think a lot more research. I mean, I read a report the other day, and this is not me saying, anything about cars and pollution or anything else. It was simply the fact that a scientist came out and said, if you actually recorded, the pollutants or pollution coming out of very small petrol engines with catalytic converters now and turbo, they are so clean, it wouldn't be a problem. He said there are other problems that are much more of a feature. Whether that's true or not, I'm not saying I don't believe that the cars are pollutants. But I think you have to. He was talking about tires, rubber. He was talking about the pollutants, the particles that come from the rubber being used and worn down.
Yeah.
And the heavier cars, and the dangerousness of rubber and breathing rubbering. And the particles from rubber. And of course, the heavier the cars are, the faster the cars are, the heavier you are on the rubber. So you need to change your tires more. So of course, electric cars are becoming heavier and faster, really, at the end of the day. They're not really a slow electric car. They're super fast. So probably something, it is interesting to talk to because with a sort of electric-wise, I can't get that excited about electric cars. I have to say, there is, I drive my hybrid around. I drive it, I use all the 35 miles. I charge every night when I go to the gym. I get my 35 miles charge, and it's a very quiet, kind of lovely way of getting around London. I don't need, a big roaring V8 to do 20 miles an hour. If you get to 20 miles an hour in London, outside London, that's just silly. I understand that. And I think, I'm totally, totally fine with electric vehicles. And then I get in my V8 Jag SVR and the bucket seats hug me and the V8 starts up and wakes the neighbours. And I throttle it down the road and think, I'm not ready yet. I'm afraid I still... Because actually, it's taken away one of your senses, your senses to drive and the sound of it is so important at the end of the day. But I'm sure it will come. I actually speaking to an electric company the other day that they think they're going to synthesize the sound into your electric car so you can have it sounding like you want. So, it's. I still think there's a big play for hydrogen, I have to say. I've said that for probably sort of 6-7 years. I know Toyota are plunging a lot of money into it. I know Jaguar are looking at it, Jaguar Land Rover. I know Audi are looking at it. Porsche are looking at synthetic fuels.
Ineos are doing the same.
So I think there's a bigger play there. But, for the time being, look at the climates around the world. Look at, where Europe's on fire, it's 41 degrees in London. How can anyone disagree that this is an emergency and we've got to do everything we can, to stop, the world polluting? So if we can make that difference, and that means driving electric cars and then we're looking at other sources of hydrogen, then that's the way forward. That's what we're going to look at. There's no question about that. I think England does pretty well. It's when you look at the impact of America and China and Russia and India and all the vehicles over there, that's what's going to make the massive difference to the CO2 if they go electric. So, but modern cars as a whole, and they're so good. There's not a bad car on the road, I think, on the car road. I think they're just so astoundingly good now. I really, really do. So, they do, I have to say, sometimes blend into each other. So because they're all so good, if you kind of blindfold me and put me in a car and then drive it, I wouldn't be sure if I was in a Mercedes or an Audi or, a mixture of these cars, BMW, I'd go, they're all fantastic. So it really does take something special to set them apart in many ways. I still would love a Yaris GR.
Yes,
Toyota Yaris GR.
Yes.
Like that's my... Still, my, and I see something come out. This has got to be the Essex boy, a hot hash lover. So I try to beat it out of me. It won't. I want a hot hatch in white, manual gears.
And, nice.
A Civic Type R.
I had a Civic Type R. I had a proper Civic Type R back in the old days. Oh, mate, what a car!
Proper one. What a car, mate. So, that's there's still things that get the still love that idea of a hot hatch or a mega hatch, things that are so fast that you could be driving it to the supermarket, but it can take on a Ferrari down to the A to B roads, and I still love that fact. That's the Essex boy in front of me.
Brilliant. It's the dream, isn't it? I love it. David, usually at this time I would be asking people for their dream drives, but I'm acutely aware that we've been chatting for a long time. So I'm simply going to ask you just for a very brief version of it. So let's do a revised version. You can choose one car, one road, and just one passenger, one very special celebrity passenger, who I'm expecting you to kit out in well-wear, by the way. So you can also tell me what they're wearing. What are you driving? Who's your passenger? Where do you go? And how have you fashioned them?
Okay, so I'm going Italy because it's still the place I've raised. I've done the Mille Miglia. They're still the most passionate country in the world about cars, and they allow me to drive still properly in Italy, which is good. There's a Tuscan road down from Pienza, which I would driving. As I've mentioned, a Ferrari 330 GTC. It's going to be a Ferrari 330 V12 Classic. And the passenger, I mean, if there was anyone, if we're going dead or alive passengers, it would be Paul Newman.
Nice.
I would just have to have Paul Newman in my car. I think he would just be an incredible person. Like, I look up to him, what he's done with charity and acting. He's just one of the best looking guys ever. Just done it all, had his race team, won Le Mans. You know, he's got to have the greatest stories in the world. And he's a lot of what I, well, where it's about. He dressed for functionality, for, for comfort, for practicality. So I would have him in the ultimate T-shirt, which I know he would love. And a pair of our probably ultimate joggers. And I know he would probably love that. That's what he was in all the time. So that's it.
Fantastic. We'll take that. Paul Newman kitted out in the ultimate T-shirt and ultimate jogger. I thought you'd give him shorts, David, to be fair. I thought you'd get him in a nice pair of your swimming shorts.
Hey, listen, it's Paul Newman. He can have what he likes. Okay, he can have the whole range. I don't care.
Stop off by the pool and have a bit of a dip with Paul Newman. Fabulous.
Absolutely.
David, what a joy. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's always a joy.
The Andy J Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.